And joining us on the telephone, this is a true pleasure. Mr. Hefner, how are you?
I am very, very well.
It's nice to speak with you. I have been a fan forever, as everybody tells you all the time. Is it okay if I call you Hef?
Absolutely, please do.
Hef, say hi to Bill Zemme.
You're my hero.
Hello, Bill.
How are you, sir?
I'm very well. I got your letter today.
That's good.
Very good.
I'm looking out on a rainy Michigan Avenue. You sure you don't want to move home?
Gee, I don't know. It's a sunny day here in Southern California. I'll have to think about that.
What's your favorite Chicago memories? Give me two or three.
Oh, well, most of my childhood, particularly the last couple of years of high school.
So you loved high school?
Yeah, I loved the, yes. The last 2 years of high school were like a mini hint of what life might be like after Playboy. I think that I, quite literally, on a personal level, I started Playboy because of dreams put away, the dreams that that came from childhood and adolescence.
So it's kind of
the last 2 years of high school.
A coming of age thing as a junior and senior. I think it's kind of cool that you enjoyed high school and that was kind of a springboard for it. Something I didn't know about you.
Yeah, well, and you get a little hint of some of that in the book.
Yes, you do. We were talking, one of my favorite parts of the book, I love the business section, but one of my favorite, well, I really do.
He seems to really love it. It's amazing.
And I love this picture. I mentioned this before, but there's a picture in the book of you holding court with a stack of pillows, it looks like, behind you, and you're sitting on an ottoman in the lotus position with a lot of folks sitting around, and it looks like you're planning the magazine.
That's exactly right. It's all my editors.
And it's
That was in the main ballroom of... In front of the fireplace of the Chicago mansion.
Now, were there good creative arguments would go on at these meetings?
Yeah, sure. I wouldn't really call them arguments, but yeah, absolutely, an exchange of a lot of very creative ideas. It was a very exciting time, and it was, you know, in the 1960s when we were really building the empire.
You know, that house, as you know, we've talked about this, Hef, it's a condominium now. It always breaks my heart to drive by and just imagine, remembering the dreams inside of that house.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Well, you came back to see it just before. Well, Playboy donated it to the Art Institute.
That's right. I donated it to the Art Institute because that's where I saw my first nude.
Well, you
quite
know.
Quite literally.
How great is that?
Not at the mansion, but at the Art Institute. I took a summer class in figure drawing. And right after I got out of the Army.
I love that. So it had such a lasting impression on you. Frankly, as all of our first nudes do. But I was not in a position to donate my home.
Well.
Yeah, both of us, our first nude came in your magazine, you see.
I understand that. Well, I had a while back a writer for National Geographic was doing a piece on Sunset Strip.
Uh-huh.
And it interviewed me. And in the interview he said that he had seen his first nude in Playboy magazine. I said, that's okay. I saw my very first nude in your magazine. When we were kids back then, National Geographic.
I guess you're right now that we think about it.
Yeah, because you go to the library and you flip through.
You were a little funny back then.
I remember getting in trouble at a department store. You remember how big Life magazine used to be? Remember,
it was
like
my favorite magazine growing up.
Oversized.
Oh, yes, sure.
And I would take Playboy and I would put it inside the pages of Life magazine.
Uh-huh.
And then the department store guy would come over and say, hey, kid, what are you looking at?
Uh-huh.
And then he'd make me, of course, put the Life magazine away, buy the Playboy, and leave.
Uh-huh.
And that's how he got to where he is today.
Yes.
One of my other favorite parts of the book, again, we're talking with Bill Zemme and Hugh Hefner. Hef's on the phone. Hef's Little Black Book is out this week. And you can get it today, and you better. I love this section. Hef explains the vagaries of marriage, because I certainly don't think most people associate you with marriage right off the top. And you just, the stuff here is just great, fundamentally sound thinking about what makes marriage work.
Well, it takes a lifetime to learn that lesson. I haven't learned it yet.
But the most logical, let me read here. The most logical motivation for getting married is because you want to have kids.
Sure.
I mean, that's true. It makes complete sense.
Yeah, well, it certainly doesn't, you know. I think one does it for emotional security, economic security, and for having children.
But
it isn't, you know, it doesn't fuel romance in most cases.
But you mentioned the emotional security about it. You can chart most broken marriages to people who get married for emotional security.
Yes, well, one of the problems with marriage in modern society is that we live too long. You know, in the old days, It was much easier, you know, to make a lifetime commitment if your lifetime was only about 40 years.
Well, there's some truth in that, isn't there?
Yeah, this guy knows everything.
Sure. Some relationships improve with marriage. A lot don't. The reason a lot of them don't is because people tend to get lazy and don't work at it.
That's absolutely true.
But there's other parts in the book where you talk about, which I think is great, where you just talk about working at listening and how important listening is and how poor we are at it in relationships, and certainly as men, we're not very good at it.
I think that's absolutely true.
Is that something you were blessed with, or was it a learned skill?
Well, I think, most things are learned skills, but you never really quite know what's in the DNA, and et cetera. But my mother encouraged, asking questions, and I was always the kid who asked, why, and she supplied the answers. So, you get into those habits very early.
When you and Mr. Zemi were putting this book together, is there something that you really wanted to see get in, or did you trust Bill as I do?
I don't trust him.
Yeah.
Deeper than I can see him.
What on earth? Trust? How did trust get in any of this? They don't trust me.
Because with my life,
I'm trying to get Bill to write my life story, and he said, well, I can't sell a pamphlet to the publishers. how long have you guys been working on this, Bill?
Well, we were working on various projects together, and this one sort of moved to the forefront just simply because I think it's a lovely treasury to have here in this celebratory 50th anniversary year. And it's all about the stuff that we all, with all due respect, grew up wanting to know about you. And it was fun for me to kind of remember everything that excited me, created the dreams for me. You know, you had your dreams fueled by Gatsby in many ways and other things, and in the movies, certainly. And your life then became the same for me and so many other guys, like this guy sitting across from me.
Bill is the guy, and that's the way we met, who did the first piece on me. When I came out of my marriage in 1998.
Right.
And he did it for Esquire, a very good piece, and it was out of that really the friendship began. And, we've talked about the possibility of doing a bigger book, a real autobiography. And
that's bound to happen.
While we were doing that, the suggestion of doing this came along.
You know, looking at this, though, it's a very logical book, and I know from being friends with Bill over the last year, you're thinking, well, what am I going to do to take this icon, this legend's life and his collection of wisdoms and boil it down into this little black book, which is such a great title. And I just think you both really accomplished something here that's pretty cool. So I salute both of you.
All men should have it, correct?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's maybe two.
Two, dads and grads, Hef.
Yeah, you don't want to lose one.
No.
Hey, can I, real quick before you go, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk, and I hope that my invitation to the mansion, even if it's just to park cars, is sometime in the mail.
That is the invitation.
Oh, thanks.
We need one more car here.
What do you think I do when I go there?
Make sure Hef gets off the phone. Make sure Cochran gets nowhere near the grotto and have him be careful with the Mercedes.
Uh-huh.
But my question to you is this. I was told the cartoon book is either out or it's going to be out.
It is indeed. I think it's in some stores even as we speak. And yes, it's. And we're proud of that one, too. It's behind the scenes, I was always the cartoon editor of the magazine. Picked every cartoon that ever appeared in the magazine and appeared every. In the book, and it's a real history of 50 years of the sexual revolution.
Yeah, it really is. It's
the funny
timeline.
Side, the funny
yeah.
side.
Yeah, and it's great stuff. All the best. It's
Thank
a pleasure.
You.
It's a real treat to talk to you.
All right, and, Bill, I will see you soon.
Yeah, absolutely, sir.
And the last question before you go, Cubs or Sox?
Well, I'm a Cubby.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I knew there was a reason I loved Hef. Hef, thanks for being on the Steve Cochran Show. Hold on.
See you, sir.
Should we give him a lobstergram?
Yeah, give Hef a lobstergram. That would be great. Hef should get a lobstergram.
What a good guy.
He's just a guy. That's the best news about this man.
Yeah, but you know, I don't get nervous talking to anybody. I was nervous.
I told you. Yeah, I mean, he is one of those guys. There are a handful left who can actually inspire that. I mean, I know the guy, and we can joke. Well, you just joked around with Hef. You're joking around with Hef.
Right.
Come
right.
on.
That's pretty cool.
Pinch yourself, dude.
Yeah. And my son at 13 is almost old enough to understand how cool that is.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And yet, it's he. You know, there's never not a moment when I don't get a little nervous before I say something to him.
Yeah.
It's silly, you know. Because he doesn't want that. He just wants
to be a regular guy.
He is a regular guy, except that he, you know, could buy and sell us in a heartbeat. And
have really beautiful women around him when he signs the paperwork.
Yes, sir.